Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we will find in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due and thy son's due of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due, and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine, and thy sons with thee, by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, Wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. And Aaron said unto Moses, Behold, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord. And such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, he was content. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is one of those passages of Scripture that we read, and on the face of it, there are times when We read this and it seems horrible to us. And it is a horrible circumstance. By horrible, I mean it should incite horror. Sadly, the horror is often misdirected. It is a misguided horror. So what happened? Well, I think that Andrew Benar, in his wonderful commentary on Leviticus, has the right thing in mind when he says that this is probably the next day. Remember that the offerings for the priests, that they could be offered on one day and eaten the next day. This is either late in the day, the same day that the tabernacle was first put into service, when God came down in that pillar of fire and lit the wood upon the altar. It's either later that day or it's the next day, but we still have the priest's offerings at ready here. And so Nadab and Abihu, and there is nothing said in the text about them feeling left out or anything like that. The only thing that is said about them is that they went forward and did something that the Lord had not commanded them to do. We don't know what their motivation was. They may have had a wonderful motivation. They may have thought that they were doing the right thing, because the scripture is very clear and tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, or is the way of death, depending on which version you read in Proverbs 14 or 16. Well, they may have had the best of intentions here, but remember that the Lord would be sanctified in them that would draw near to Him. And so, in that they would be sanctified, that means that everything they did must be a sanctified doing. There was a particular fire that was a sanctified fire, a holy fire, a set apart fire, a fire that God Himself had lit. But they neglected that fire. They did not use the sanctified fire, but they brought Esh Zara, another fire, a strange fire, an unauthorized fire. That word Zara, if you remember our scripture readings through the book of Proverbs, that's the Zara Isha, the unauthorized woman, the forbidden woman, the anti-woman, if you will, in those first 10 chapters. Unauthorized, strange, not holy, common instead. And so they put that in their censer. The censer was holy. It may even have been that the incense mixture that they had in there was holy. We have no idea. It simply doesn't say. But we know that the fire was not. And because the fire was not, when they came near to bring that incense before the Lord Himself broke upon them. And fire came out from that holy fire, the altar, and consumed Nadab and Abihu in their coats. And they fell down dead before the Lord. Of course, I'm sure that this was quite a scene. The people gather. Moses and Aaron gather, looking over the dead bodies of Nadab and Abihu. And Moses turns to Aaron and he says, "Aaron, this is that which the Lord hath said, I will be sanctified in them that draw near unto me." And Aaron, for his part, shows great restraint and what? Held his peace. Brothers and sisters, this is one of those passages that shows us that God will be sanctified in those that draw near Him. What are we doing today? We are drawing near Him. How then will we come? How then will we come? What does the writer say in the book of Hebrews? The first way that we come is having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That is, in the inner and in the outer man, we come according to holiness, according to being set apart before Him. And the implications of those of those two paradigms are that we come as regenerate people before God, hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That is, that we come as a sanctified people in sanctified elements, coming to God in the way that He has commanded. And this is why Nadab and Abihu were killed that day, because it says in the text what? They brought strange fire, which the Lord did not command. In that the Lord did not command it, that is all the same as if He had outright forbidden it. You remember those arguments of the regulative principle? If we're looking for that which is forbidden by the Lord, tell me, just think with me for a moment, how long would that list be? How long would that list be? Don't bring strange fire. Don't bring strange incense. Don't bring strange censers. Don't bring strange clothing. Don't bring strange... The books would be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied if the Lord forbid everything that was forbidden in coming to Him. Instead, the Lord says, listen. Listen to what I have commanded you. And what I have not commanded you, don't do it. And what I have commanded you, do it with hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Do it like that. Do it as a people set apart unto me inside and out. A proper form is not enough. But notice also that a proper heart is not enough. We want both as Reformed Presbyterians. We want hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. We want to come to the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the holiness of Christ clothed upon us, and also the beauty of holiness, the holiness of the ordinances that God has commanded. That's what we want. And we must not content ourselves with one or the other. We must content ourselves only when we press and press in that semper reformanda kind of understanding, where we strive after that holiness more and more in the inner man, and we strive after that form more and more in the outer. So it is a difficult passage, and yet very instructive. And if this strikes us as horrifying, remember it is horrifying to come into the presence of God naked and unholy. It is horrifying. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to come to Him naked and unholy. But in Christ, we come clothed with a righteousness not our own and accepted in the Beloved. All right, so then notice Moses shows great restraint and compassion also in that he calls to some nephews of Aaron, or cousins of Aaron. And he says, you all come near and take their bodies out. It is not left to Aaron and to his sons to do that for two reasons. One is a very compassionate reason, that they are indeed in the midst of their duty before the Lord and how that would have sullied and colored that duty. But secondly, because they were in the midst of that duty, they were not capable of defiling themselves without bringing great sin upon themselves. They had the holy oil of anointing. They are still they are still clothed in those holy garments, and they must not defile themselves with the dead. And so the Lord, even in this passage, continues to press that holiness of separation. Now notice that they were dead in their coats. It's mentioned that they were yet in their coats. Commentators are divided as to why they were in their coats. Some commentators say that the incense that they were burning had adhered in some way to their coats, and so the coats continue to bear witness of their activity even after they died. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that those coats were holy, and the Lord preserved the coats and struck precisely upon those men that had sinned against him. It's very difficult to decide between those two interpretations, and so it may be that there is a flavor of both of them there. Then Moses instructs Aaron not to uncover their heads, not to mourn, but instead they can mourn with the mourning of all of the people. This represents the public character of the priesthood, so that Aaron and his sons were not to retreat into a family mourning, but that they might mourn with the entirety of the nation, because they are indeed public persons in their office at that particular time. And so we find out that there is indeed a kind of public office that doesn't get to do things that others would do. I remember, some of you will remember the death of little Adelaide DeTroy. She died one day before she was scheduled to be born. And Mr. Nick DeTroy asked me to come and to be involved in the funeral up in Wisconsin, and I was blessed to do so. They asked me to lead a psalm at the memorial service. And I thank the Lord that He gave me the good sense to go over that psalm beforehand, because when I sang it alone, I couldn't get through it. But there was that private character, and it was my duty at that time to take care of that private character so that in public there could be ministry. This is what's going on here. Aaron and his sons are instructed not to retreat back into a family mourning, because they are public people and examples to the rest of the congregation of Israel, and so they can mourn with the rest as the nation would mourn, but not as a family would mourn. They're deprived of that at this point. All right, so then in verses 8 through 11, one good teaching opportunity deserves another. And so Moses goes on to say, make sure that when you come and worship before the Lord, that this kind of holiness is always in your foresight, so that you do not come after having drunk wine or strong drink when you come before the Lord. You minister as a holy priesthood, and so do not sully that. Do not profane that with wine or strong drink. Put the difference between the holy and the unclean. And then in verses 12 through 15, Moses expresses great concern for Aaron and for his sons here. And he tells them that these offerings that they're offering, that they are for them. That even though these two sons have sinned and have been slain before the Lord, that the priesthood is still viable, and that the people have brought their offerings, their sin offerings, and that they belong to Aaron and to his sons, and that they ought to go ahead and eat them. However, when we get to the end of the chapter, it's very interesting. The anger of Moses is kindled up against Eleazar and Ithamar, the two remaining sons of Aaron, because, number one, they had not brought the blood into the tabernacle and sprinkled it as they should have, that sin offering for the whole of the nation. And secondly, they had not eaten their portion of it. Rather, they had burned it whole upon the altar. And so the anger of the Lord the anger of Moses is kindled against Aaron and against Ithamar and against Eleazar. And notice that Moses does not address Aaron directly. He addresses the two sons. And he says, why have you not done what you should have done with the offering? But it is Aaron that rises up in answer. It's a great man, Aaron is. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Aaron was not a spiritual man. Because Aaron understands not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of it here. And he says, this offering that we had offered up, it was for all of us. All of us in the priesthood. And while I understand that the priesthood is not destroyed and it must go on, such things have befallen me today. The Lord Himself broke out upon my sons. Shall I then rejoice in the eating of this meal? I can't. The Lord has shown Himself that He did not receive this offering, so why should I receive it? And so Aaron shows himself to be a man greater than his own conscience, greater than his own loss, and having a concern for the honor and glory and desire of God, as God has had expressed it in the slaying of his two sons. Aaron said, I will not rejoice over this meal and pretend that everything is all right. We will burn this offering whole in testimony to the burning that the Lord himself has burned. There will be another time, is implied in Aaron's statement here. There will be another time where we will offer a sin offering and we will enjoy it together. But not today, because the Lord himself has been offended. Aaron understands then the spirit of the law as well as the letter, and shows himself to be a very spiritual high priest. Thus ends the reading then of Leviticus chapter 10.